So pleased to be with you this morning. Your pastor and I have developed a real brotherhood over the last gazillion years. And I was there with him when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that. We've shared many things from the things of God. One of the things that I've always appreciated him is his hunger for the Word of God, for knowing God, for experiencing God. Not just labels and having scriptures, but experiencing what the Word talks about. That's exciting. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts? The book of Acts. The book of Acts. Now, your Bible says Acts of the Apostles. I don't know about you, but to me, I think it should say Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because all of the works and all of the acts were created and implemented by the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is a fun book, isn't it? Oh, there we hear about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see in a moment where Jesus is leaving off with his disciples in the Gospels. Now it picks up the narrative and continues to tell us what happened after he left. And so the author, who regularly is known and well-received as Luke, the beloved physician, since earliest of times. I'm going to share with you a few things about him this morning and a couple of other areas the Holy Spirit has really kind of prompted my heart. But the book of Acts is a wonderful book. In fact, Luke writing is generally accepted as most likely a Gentile, which is very interesting. So he would be the only Gentile or non-Jew writing things in the New Testament for our studies. Also, since he is attributed to the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts, Luke is the largest writer almost of the New Testament. He writes over a quarter of the New Testament. Did you know that? So his writings are very important. Some of the things that are unique about Luke, that we believe it was Luke that wrote both Luke and the Gospel of the Acts of the Apostles, are the wording. The Gospel of Luke is written in such a way that it's one of the most beautiful writings in all of the world. Luke is very descriptive, and he sees things through the eyes of a doctor as you would read it and pick up little narratives where in the original language it makes some specifications that are very, very poignant to Luke being the writer, if he indeed was a physician that we believe and know that he was. Such things as one of the verses when Jesus says it's easier for what to go through the eye of a, and the word needle there is a lot of times when the Bible uses that word, it is mentioning something of repairing clothes or something. But when Luke writes needle in the Greek, it is a word that would be used, a needle, by a physician. It's a unique, different word. And so there's a lot of little things that you will pick up as you look through the Greek and read some of the scholars that write on this that makes it very unique. I am so glad for many of the scholars and people that have gone back through the pages and spent much, much time breaking things apart for us, because you know what it does? It builds our faith even that much more. We have a Bible that was not written by man. It was inspired and breathed through men to write as God would have them. This is the uniqueness. Your pastor and I were talking last night over a little dinner. We were talking about the people that are not Christians. How they just don't have any hope. What is there? We were talking about some of the things in the hospitals and people getting older and dying and different things like that. What hope do people have? They have none. We have this wonderful blessing of our Bible, and books like the book of Acts, which I love the book of Acts because it is very, very complete. Some authors say that the book of Romans is the most complete of all of the books in the Bible, and it may be, but Acts has got to be right in there. You know why? We study and we understand the workings of the Holy Spirit. We understand the history of the church, the bringing in of the Gentiles, Paul's missionary ventures, people getting saved, and there are verses there that a person can read and get saved. A number of years ago, decades now, going back in time, I was youth pastoring in a big church down in Long Beach. And we had reached out to the street people and the Jesus people back then, you know, where they were called. It was all these hippie kids that came in and got saved. And we had one such young couple, and she was pregnant, and they were young hippies off the street, had just been living out there in all these different places and stuff, and they got saved, got a glorious salvation. But both of them were not very educated. They were kind of uneducated kids. And came from uneducated backgrounds and just didn't have a lot of knowledge of things, but just loved the Lord. And they would show up in their hippie-looking garb and stuff, and they would come in and just worship the Lord. This was, they found him, and the Lord brought them into a wonderful relationship. Well, we got them married. They had been living together, and she was pregnant when they came in. And we did a beautiful wedding ceremony, and some of their old friends showed up, and it was a wonderful experience. And months later, they were at the hospital. I went down there, and here was this new experience for this young man and with his wife now and the baby. And I said to him, I said, Jared, I said, everything is going well? When I got to the hospital and so forth, when they called me, and he said, yeah, Pastor, he says, everything's going well. And I said, have you had a chance to see your new baby? He said, oh, yeah. And I said, did you come up with a name for it? And he said, yeah, it's a little boy, and I'm thinking about naming him Theophilus. I said, oh, Theophilus, a Bible name like we read here in Acts. The former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus? And he says, no, Pastor, not because we were going through the book of Acts, and we were talking about this, and it was written to Theophilus, and I'll explain here in a moment. He said, I'm not naming him after a Bible name. He says, I looked at that, that was the awfulest looking thing I've ever seen. All shriveled up. So Theophilus, the former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Who is this man named Theophilus? And who is this man Luke that doesn't describe himself at the beginning? The man Theophilus is thought to have been a Roman dignitary of some type in the government. There is one thought that possibly at one time Luke had been an actual slave of this man. And the man, because Luke had healed him, there's a thought there that Luke and his physician ability had healed him. And so it's only one of the thoughts. We don't know this for a fact. We go back into some traditions and some things that we don't have real evidence. But it's interesting to think about that Luke used his doctorate abilities to bring healing to this man named Theophilus, who was in the sense a high degreed person within the Roman military, the Roman government. And so the thought was that he had healed him, and Theophilus had given him liberty to be a free man. And now, because of Luke's relationship with the Lord and all that went on, that the best thing he could ever do for this man would be to give him the recounting story of Jesus. So Acts is a continuation of the book of Luke. If you read Luke, continue right on into the book of Acts, because it's the continuation. And so he's writing to this man Theophilus. Luke is also thought to have been one of the 70 that Jesus sent out. Now, we don't, again, know this, but from earlier writers in church history, there's been some things come out there. Also, it is thought that Luke was also an artist, and he was one of the people, the first ones to write or to draw the Madonna and Child. Interesting, isn't it? There's a lot of interesting things, but generally across the board, it's well accepted that Luke was the writer of both the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And so he says that his purpose is that he's going to speak about all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Notice that. Jesus, before he left, Luke says, he appeared unto his disciples. We see it in the Gospels, but here he reminds it again. Jesus didn't just die on the cross, supposedly raised from the dead, and then just disappeared, and we're all supposed to accept it by faith. It's said with many infallible proofs. Now, I'm one that believes that there were a lot of things that Jesus both did and said, as John says, that weren't recorded, that the world's libraries itself could not contain all of the things that he said and did. And I was speculating when I was thinking about this last night. What are some other things that Jesus did to prove he is the Son of God to those disciples? It's just mind-boggling. We'll never know. All we can do is speculate about it. But the point was, Luke said, he didn't just tell them that he was risen, that he had died. He showed them with many infallible proofs. Friends, you and I serve a God. We are Christians, not just because of our faith, but because also with our faith are many infallible proofs. We have evidence. Christianity is not just a thing of all faith, and we can't prove anything. I've gone back into history and looked at some things that are very interesting. Did you know that Christopher Columbus had a real heart for God? And even though there was some mix-ups in his life, if you read back, Columbus didn't feel the second coming of Christ could come until Jerusalem was liberated. And that was one of the reasons why he wanted to find a new passage to India, was to fund another crusade to go and liberate Jerusalem. In so doing, he also realized, at that time, you remember, everyone thought the world was flat. If you went out so far, you'd drop off the end of the earth. Columbus read in Isaiah where it says, God sits upon the circle of the earth. And it dawned on him, the earth is round. I've showed this to people that are skeptics and so forth. So what do you make of this? This was written 700 years before Christ. You see that? And then it's another 1600 years or 1492, whatever it is, that we see that Columbus shows up on the scene. There are many things like that in the Bible which you cannot explain away. Christianity is a different religion altogether than all the religions of the world. And it boils down to all the facts, all the things about the universe, all of the creation about us. It boils down to one thing, that God came down in the form of a man. And this is what Luke is impressing us with. He came down and took upon him the form of a servant. And so we see Luke pictured even in Revelation, whenever things in the church world historically are mentioned about the Gospels and about Luke, that Luke is always pictured as a oxen. And it's pictured because he portrays Christ as the servant of God. We see this. He sees as a physician. He sees and he makes mention of some of the miracles in a very personal way. Mark is very very out front, and everything is right out right away, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am type of action. But Luke is more the internal side, the God side of caring for humanity. So both are correct in the audiences that they're going to, but we see this as he takes us through all of this. Now, the Gospel or the Acts of the Apostles is broke up in several sections. The first one we see is Jesus sending forth his disciples to the upper room or to wait until they be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, any ministry must begin with the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit. And I like something else here. And he says, he not only showed himself alive to all of them and spoke to them concerning the kingdom of heaven, but being assembled in verse 4, together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This infilling of the Holy Spirit is the pinnacle of your religious experience, if I can use that term, for you. When you come to Christ and you are baptized and you receive his salvation, your sins are washed from you. You have the garments of righteousness put upon you. You have a seal put upon you that God has accepted you. But then comes this other action that God wants you to have. It is power for service. This is what he did. He empowered them for service and the opening of the supernatural. How many of you believe in the supernatural this morning? How many of you know that God still works in wondrous ways, wonders to behold? It has been my experience over the last year to work with traditionally Baptist, non-Pentecostal people. And it's been interesting how the Lord has opened the door for me to share things that are non-offensive that we all have common ground on. And we begin talking about if everything is just surrounding taking scriptures as labels and putting them on things, that is not God. God doesn't work just that way. Yes, we need the word, but Paul says, I came to you in word and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. They go together. And it's a witness of God actually working and explaining the word is reality, backing it up by the miracles that come forward. And so as we go through the book of Acts, we see these wondrous places. We hear Peter getting up and preaching and seeing all these people responding to the word of the Lord. Then we see persecution coming to the church and they all get together. Notice what they say over in, is it Acts chapter 4 there, where they all pray together with one accord and they say, oh God, you see these threatenings, you see what's going on. You know, it's one thing to have problems in your life. It's another thing to turn your heart towards the Lord, you see. And so they turned their heart toward the Lord. And they said, you see their threatenings. Oh, Lord, come and work with us by the Holy Ghost. I like what Jim said this morning. And what's going on here is that you may be small in numbers, but if the Holy Ghost is working here, he is doing the right thing. If you are walking in the Spirit, you are doing the right thing. We may not get the answers we want. We may not get the things we want in life. But if we are walking in tune with the Holy Spirit, that is success. Amen. Praise God. And so as we look at the Acts of the Apostles, there is a theme running all the way through it. God is working in the midst of his people. Whether they are persecuted, whether they are hurting, whatever is going on, God is working and has plans that we cannot even begin to understand. And if we'll walk after him, he will visit with us. He will bless us. He will turn the tide. He will let us win souls and see miracles if we'll abide in him and be filled with the Spirit. I love there's a verse there that Paul is all shaken up, and here he comes to Philippi. You remember that? In fact, it's an interesting thing. I've often looked at that and said, wow, that's difficult. Paul is somewhere over in the Turkey area, and then he's on up in up there, and he has this vision at night. And it's a man over across the way, and the man is saying, come over and help us. Wow, okay, let's take off and go over there. And so they head out, and they get to Philippi. And they look around, and there's no synagogue there. It must have been very small there, so they didn't have a synagogue. And he heard about a group of ladies. Well, now the vision was a man saying, come over and help us. And he goes and he ministers to these ladies who would go down by the river, and they would go down there to pray. And Paul was able to share with them the expanded gospel, the story of Jesus and the resurrection. They believed in God, and we see this in another place, when Aquila and Priscilla got Apollos aside, and they showed him the more perfect way. Do you know people like that? They believe in God. I believe they're sincere, but they haven't been shown the clear way. They can only get saved through Jesus, and we answer their questions about Jesus. And then we talk to them about living the life now for Jesus. And we talked to him about praying in the Spirit and having the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct our paths and why we need to read our Bible. That's called discipleship. That's in the book of Acts. And it continues on. And then as they get there, all of a sudden the people, they rile up and they throw these guys in jail and they beat them and there they are in stocks. Come on, wait a minute. What is wrong with this picture? I received a vision of a man saying, come over and help us. The story ain't ended yet. Because as they're worshiping the Lord in that prison, here's another doctrine, if we could call it that, of when you're down and when you're oppressed, yes, you mourn. You may weep before the Lord, but there is a time when you need to rise up, begin to praise God in the midst of trouble. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And so as they begin to pray, what happened? The earth began to shake, and all the prison cells were open. And the man that ran the jail ran down there thinking all the prisoners escaped. He's going to kill himself. Wait a minute, don't do yourselves any harm. We're all here. And then he recognized that these are these Christians. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And you remember what Paul told him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. It's just that simple. You see, coming to Christ is that simple. We want to make it more difficult than others. I talked to a lady a while back, and she was going on about how I could be, and I acted like I didn't know anything. And she's talking to me, and she's telling me about their organization. And she had these pamphlets and stuff she wanted me to read. And I said, well, what is it that I have to do? And she said, well, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and so on and so forth. I said, ma'am, if I was dying right now, what would you tell me? She said, well, it's all over. You can't go to heaven. I said, oh, really? I said, well, isn't there somewhere in the Bible that talks about the thief on the cross? He couldn't do anything. And she looked at me, and she said, well, and she started him on, and she says, you're making me think. Well, good. I said, ma'am, I want to tell you something. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. This is the method. We put our trust, our confidence, not in ourselves, what we can do, but upon the wondrousness of the cross of Jesus Christ. And so at the beginning of Acts, what Luke does is he picks up the narrative from where it left off. Okay, now we've seen Jesus go to the cross. But here's what I want to tell you. And he begins to tell them right at the outset. He was resurrected and showed himself. And now he proceeds right on through the book of Acts and shows us how the church has developed, how it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, how these men were called and went into the uttermost parts of the earth, even dying and giving their lives for Christ. Oh, I want to tell you something. If you haven't read Acts, or even if you have, go back and read it again. It will inspire you and build in you the confidence of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives once again. So this Luke, he is writing to this man. We don't hear any more about this man. We don't know what happened to him. It's one of the mysteries of this man, Theophilus. But Luke goes on, and he's recorded in almost every church circle, in every kind of activity. We have his name written there as a servant of the Lord. There is a lot of things in the Catholic Church and some of the early church fathers believed about him. I don't want to go into all of that this morning. But he was a unique follower of Jesus Christ. Can that be said of you? Does your life sustain the story of Jesus? Do you leave off that impression that if you were to die today, you would leave off an impression of others that they would know how to find the Lord? You know, people may not like you, but they can respect you. Amen? People may not agree with you, but if you live your life and love people in Jesus, you can leave a great mark and a great testimony that they will not be able to get over. Someone said one time, I don't like so-and-so, I don't believe everything, but if I was going to be a Christian, I'd want to be one like him. Isn't that a great testimony? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you've believed? Have you received that empowering? You might say, you know, I'm just kind of weak at being able to share my faith. When I pray, I'm not sure. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? This is one of the things it says. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here's the other thing I like about what Luke has to tell us. Did you notice Jesus said, you will be filled? Now, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm a firm believer. Sometimes people seem to get, like she was mentioning this morning, she got a couple of words. We want to see people filled all the way. That's what God does. He fills you completely to overflowing. Amen. I'd like you to stand to your feet this morning, and if the musicians would come. And I'd like to ask you this morning, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believed? This story is written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, you might be saved. And Luke goes on to talk to you about something additional to your Christian life. It is being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is baptism? Baptism means to be completely immersed. You know, when we water baptize people, we immerse them completely under the water and bring them up again. And when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are placed into that Spirit that comes into you. It's like a sponge going down the water. The sponge takes on that which it's been placed into. Would you like to be placed into Jesus this morning? I want to invite you this morning, while you're standing and while you're there, just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some of us haven't had an infilling in so long. You need to be refilled. You need to be baptized and dipped down into again. I'm going to pray with you this morning. We're going to believe that God is going to come and fill you to overflowing. And Lord, we pray this morning as we stand before you. We pray in this church, Lord, where there's much prayer gone up in faithfulness. Now we pray, oh God, may you come and fill. Not only in the first chapter, chapter 2 rather, was there a baptism, but later on it says, and the Spirit came and they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Lord, may you send your presence just now. Lord, may there be a complete infilling. I thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord. Thank you for Audrey right now. Audrey, in Jesus' name, be filled with the Spirit, overflowing. I pray for those of you right now that have just gone through turmoil and distress. You need an infilling, a fire to come back into your soul. Right now, we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful fire that burns away the chaff, that burns away the memories, the heartache, the pain, all those things that would hold us from knowing you. We're so caught up in the things surrounding us that we aren't filled. And Lord, we pray you'll fill us with you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. That wonderful baptism of fire, the presence of God. Presence of God. Oh, God, we bless you. You have a physical problem this morning. I want to hear, and I'm here to tell you, one of the things the Bible tells us, and these wonderful authors, these wonderful apostles, said Jesus is continuing to heal. When Luke wrote Acts, he said, which he began to do. In other words, Jesus was still doing his ministry, only this time it was through people. And so you need healing this morning. You reach around to somebody and say, lay hands on me and believe God with me this morning. I'm going to be healed. Jesus' name, whatever it is, reach out and say, pray for me right now. I'm going to be healed this morning. In Jesus' name, healing, something that we just can't even begin to understand because this is the way it is. The doctors have told us and everything else, but we read the Gospels and we read Acts and we read we have a miracle-working God. Healing. Heal this body today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for it, Father. We thank you. We pray even in advance, Lord, for the Connor's little grandson. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray healing. We pray, Lord, this thing would depart from him and not return. They would have a healthy grandson that someday he would look back and say, I was healed when I was a boy. I was diagnosed and I had this problem, but Jesus healed me. We thank you for it this morning. Powerful name of Jesus, a name above all names. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you. You remind us you're still doing the work that you did. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The acts of the Holy Spirit still performing, still doing, still moving on people. Move upon us. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. How many of you this morning say, I just sense the Holy Spirit. I sense it. Move on into it. Let's take another moment here. We're done a little early. Move on in. Reach your heart out to the Lord. If you're here this morning, you really haven't accepted Christ. You really haven't been born again. This is your morning. He's beckoning to you this morning. Come unto him and receive him. Let his life come into your life. We thank you, Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Lord, give visions. Lord, give dreams as you promised. Lord, expand us. We want what you have for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Praise. creation.
Sick in thy body, the Holy Spirit has power to heal. Yea, dost thou worry, the Holy Spirit can give thee peace. Yea, art thou in trouble and going through difficulties, yea, the Holy Spirit knows the way out. Art thou found heavy burdened, yea, the Holy Spirit can lift thy burden and cause thee to love the Lord thy God. And with all thy heart, yea, cry out for the Holy Spirit, for he is in thee, and he shall give thee power, and he shall give thee life, and thou shalt find a power that is beyond what man can do, and yea, thou shalt walk and not be weary. Thou shalt see the things of God. Thou shalt mount up with the wings of eagles. Yea, thou shalt fly. Yea, thou shalt see things that thou knowest not. Therefore call upon him, and he shall bring this to pass. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we call on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Spirit, I need thee. Was that what you were playing? Yes.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come.
Had a devotional life, to think about it for a moment and ask yourself, have I been having my times with Jesus? Was there a time when you read the Bible and took time to pray? And has that time no longer a place in your life? May I encourage you to revive it and begin to have a time with Jesus, not just at church, but every day, where you know your own schedule. But I would believe the Lord is calling you, that He wants to have some time with you. And nothing is more important than time with the Lord. So make a commitment to God this morning. If you haven't been there, apologize. Lord, I'm sorry I've let myself get too busy. But I want to dedicate myself to begin to seek You and open myself up to the things of God and the Holy Spirit. You never know what God can do. Your answer is just a breath away as you seek Him. And if you have guilt, there is cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. God isn't going to hold it against you. He isn't here to condemn you. He's here to bring life, and that more abundantly. So just pick yourself up, and I'm gonna do it. Let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I believe You're dealing with people, Lord, to draw them closer. And Lord, there's no condemnation. Let not guilt make us feel like I can't. I just don't. Lord, You're there to help the person. They can do this. We can do this. And Lord, even if they miss a day, You'll just be waiting for us to come back, for You love us and Your love is drawing us. So may we be responding to that love. Lord, You love that person today. And Lord, You don't hold grudges and You don't hold things. And Lord, so just let them know that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And Lord, even right now, they're cleansed. Even right now, Lord, if they look to You in faith, Your blood cleanses them and give them a fresh start. Make everything new, Lord. Give them hope today and say, it was this day that I felt the Lord draw me and we got closer. And Lord, that is Your desire, and I pray it become theirs. So bless Your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take another offering this morning. And so Brother Jim is coming, and it'll be a love offering for Brother Charlie. And we appreciate your giving. That figure of $600, yes, that's from the Lord. It's amazing how I hear people say, well, how do you know what to give? Well, I let every person decide that. But may the Lord move upon you, and He will bless you for doing it. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord's blessings, please?